So let us pray as we start this time of worship together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we can come as friends, friends of each other and friends of God, to worship and to sing praises, to look into your word, and just to be seeking the power of your Holy Spirit to come upon us in a very special way today. So guide us and direct us and help us in our worship time together, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite Andre to come and bring a little talk to us today. Thank you, Andre.
So I want to take a brief look at some of the verses from Psalm 77. It says it's a psalm of Asaph, if that's how you say the name, and I'm presuming it's a man. So I'm just going to read verses 1 to 4 to start with. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled. So this distressed man is now reminding himself of his father's promises that he's not going to be rejected. He will see the Lord's favour again. He knows God's love and promises are unfailing, and that he is a God of mercy and compassion. Then we see the shifting of thinking and focus, and he finds a remedy for his uneasy soul. So verses 10, and I'm going to include 13 as well. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What is God? What God is so great as our God? So Asaph acknowledges and declares that God has been good to him through all the years. He has moved from crying out and groaning, and now he remembers, he meditates, he considers, and is reminded of the goodness and grace of his father. So God kept this distressed man, yes, because he is a compassionate and loving God, but also because this good man worshipped his Lord. He spoke from the depths of his being, of the mighty deeds, the holiness and greatness of his God, and knows that he has not been forgotten. I cried, I groaned, I sought, but you kept. Father, your joy is our strength. In all we come to you to commune with you. In our hearts, great storms can arise, but the enemy is stilled as you make the storm a calm. Be still, you say, and know. Stand still, you say, and see. You show us your love and power today, not in the earthquake and fire, but in the still, small voice. You rule, O Lord, and save. You lead, O Lord, where waters are still. You speak from heaven, and there is calm. Lord, we worship you in this today. Amen.
And that is our prayer for today, isn't it? To let the ancient words impart to us what it will, and it still is alive and powerful today even. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks indeed for your presence here with us today. We pray that as we open your word, they might impart to us a reminder of truths we know but need to be reminded of, that they might take such a hold on our hearts and lives that we are excited to share those words with other people as well. So guide us and help us as we open your word today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to continue with a hero of faith that I chose. And this is week two of looking at the Apostle John. Now, he was brother of James, and James and John were sons of Zebedee. Say that when you haven't got your teeth in. Zebedee, who was a successful professional fisherman. And according to the commentators that I was reading about, they were cousins of Jesus as well. Now, you can't always choose your relatives, but apparently these were fairly good ones, and Jesus would have known them, and he called them from their fishing. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So I spoke last week, of course, as I said, about the disciple who was closest to Jesus, and that was John. And I said, not John the Baptist, not to be confused with that, but John the Apostle, who was with Jesus at the Last Supper and was there when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Now, he's followed right through. And I asked you last week, who was your best friend or series of best friends over the years? And your minds are probably thinking now who those number have been as the years have gone by. And I ask you again to name in your mind your best friend and think about the trust and faith you have in them. That's why we started with that song, Friend of God, or Friend of Each Other as well. I thought about another close personal friend I had in my history, which is quite long. He was one who came to work for us on the farm back in the 70s. We had a farm between Young and Grenfell, New South Wales. And it was about the same time as Gillian and I were asked to lead the Salvation Army Church in Young. And the timing of this guy and his family coming to live in a cottage on our property and work for us and with us for 14 years was timely, absolutely timely, that we needed a guy to help us with a huge workload on the farm. And he was a man with a Catholic background. He had a wife who was Lutheran and a family of six children, good Catholic. Oh. He previously had worked for the next door neighbour, and I knew how good he was, so I convinced my father to approach him and to join us. And the cottage he was on next door was right next to our boundary. So for a start, he worked from the previous cottage, and then he moved into a cottage that we had on our property as well. Now, they were the best days of our farming life, when I look back on it. It was probably La Nina time through the 70s, and we had a well-drained, good farm, especially in wet years, and we had bumper crops, one after the other, with the run of good seasons. Now, Lance, who I brought with me today, in my mind, in my memory, Lance, who was my best friend, really, during that time, as along with my brother. A man of few words, but an amazing intelligence and ability to do a power of work. I'd leave him with work to do, and he'd do that and more. I'd come back, and he just exceeded every time the work he had to do. Totally honest and trustworthy, so that I could set him up in the mornings and often was able to do visiting and Christian work in Young, knowing it would be done, and that was 30 k's away. He used to make trailers from the ground up and often repaired cars and mowers for other people at the weekend. And he'd repair mini miners buy them, repair them and sell them, including the paintwork. He'd do spray painting as well. And I have in my front yard a trailer he made for me around about 40 years ago. And the number of it is 0010. It was the 10th one he'd made at the weekend for others, as well as making mobile welders on trailers, tractor pack welders. He made four that I know of those as well. But I was there even when his life was fading. He was a close friend and he passed away at 83, so hard work doesn't hurt you, even for a boss like me or us. And I was able to pray with him when he was in intensive care in Canberra Hospital. And so fortunate also to be able to say a farewell to him in the Catholic Church with, well, I don't know how many people there were, but well over 100 people, and to say the last farewell from the family. Sorry, it makes me a bit emotional to talk about it. John, the disciple and apostle who wrote a large section of the New Testament, was a faithful best friend of Jesus. That's what we're talking about, friendships. You understand how important those friendships are. His favourite, he was, John, trusted, intelligent, caring friend who wrote the Gospel of John, three epistles, and also the book of the Revelation. So today I'm going to just look at a few of the most powerful writings. You can't possibly do this in just 2 weeks. You could do 6 months, and I'm hoping I'm not taking 6 months this morning. To me, the most powerful text of the Christian Church is the way in which we can be partakers of the power of God when we accept the plan of God for our lives. And when we're talking about the power of God, when I heard a message up Newcastle, I said last week, the lady preacher up there said, power is from the Greek word dunamos, dynamite, dynamo, all talking about different types of power. And that's the kind of power that God gives to us, which I'm going to be talking a bit about today. So the first reading that will be on the screen, John 14, 11 to 26, we read, and these are the words as recorded by John, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father," these are the words of Jesus, "and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it." And then the heading of the next section of this reading says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit in verse 15. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And Jesus is saying, "I will ask the Father, my heavenly Father, and he will give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, and he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Verse 19, "Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will make our home in him. Sorry, my Father will love him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's very powerful, isn't it? They're the most powerful words for Christians, to realise that we have that power of God with us. The great truth to Christians here is the revelation about God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The coming birth and empowerment of the fulfillment of the engine room of the church. You know, this is a powerhouse of strength that we have to go on with. The power of the triune God revealed to us. How big is that? That's big, isn't it? That's big. The report of Jesus' relationship with his Heavenly Father and the giving of the Holy Spirit, who in verse 1 is called another Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, in other words, is the Holy Spirit. So this is how we are empowered. This is how we're strengthened by these ancient words, if you like. We're strengthened by these ancient words which have come right down to us. It wasn't just to the disciples. He was saying mainly to the disciples, but up here earlier it says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. So that's how important it is to be a friend of God and close to him. And in verse 17, again, we read that the Holy Spirit is called him. And if you notice how many times him is said there when talking about the Holy Spirit, and reiterates the truth of the Trinity and God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, there can be no doubt about God being a triune God, a three-in-one God. And I don't often take up with those people who knock on your door at times, but if we have any strength in knowing the Scriptures is what it says emphatically here in this reading about him also being, the Holy Spirit being referred to as him, which is the Spirit within us. So it's good to let the Scriptures speak to us directly, even today. Jesus was speaking to his disciples directly, but we as individuals are also disciples of Jesus if we make him our Saviour and Lord. We're empowered in the same way as the original team Jesus chose to follow him. I'm going to move on now to another aspect that John writes about. John was also called the evangelist and was also known as the apostle of love. The nickname apostle of love or evangelist is based on two observations. First, John called himself the disciple Jesus loved in John 21:20. And second, John wrote more about the subject of love, in fact, more than any other New Testament author. He spoke heaps about love. And we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and so on. We know those words on love. And in 1 John 4:16 to 19, John writes in his letter, Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, God is made complete among us so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so so many people are fearful of God. Oh, he'll judge me. You know, I can't possibly go there. This is very personal, but at one time my mother was living in fear. She suffered with depression. And I remember sitting down at her kitchen table with her and saying to even my mother, you don't have to fear judgment from God, because he can forgive anything or anything that's happened in your life. And he's not here to judge us at this point of time. We live in a time of grace and favour to walk with God, and he wants us to his love to be shown, well, through the scriptures, through each other, to each other. John started out when he met Jesus not as a loving person. I imagine fishermen as being rough types, don't you? When you think of fishermen or see them on movies or something like that, they're out there battling the seas, they're screaming at each other over the noise of the waves and the boats and everything, and you can imagine their language be flowery and screaming at each other. And when they get over a big fishing trip where they don't get sleep all night because of the storm or whatever, they end up in the pub and they drink until, you know, all the pain is gone. So we can imagine, perhaps, that John and James, in fact, weren't that good for a start. And in Luke 9:54, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked the Lord, there was actually a village that wasn't accepting to the gospel or to them. And he said to God, Lord, Jesus, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? That's a bit vengeful, isn't it? Okay. And what about in Mark 9:38? Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving our demons in your name and we told him to stop because not one of us. Judgmental. And also selfish in Mark 10:35-37. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory. Oh, wow, that's a bit selfish. And Jesus went on to say, of course, are you prepared to die like I am? Are you prepared to do this? Are you prepared to do that? So they were rough fishermen, a bit rough around the edges. And but it's amazing what 3 years with Jesus will do. It's amazing what a lifetime with Jesus will do. It's amazing what a moment with Jesus will do for you if that's an intense personal moment. I take away from John's writing... The takeaway from John's writing is that God's love, evident through Jesus Christ and expressed in his followers, transforms us so that we're brought together as one in the Spirit. Now, just reverting back to a moment ago, James and John were called Boanerges. Boanerges. I don't know whether I pronounced it right. You know what that means? Sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. But they were changed men. They were changed because they'd been with Jesus. As an eyewitness to Jesus' divinity, John was qualified to speak the truth which we can depend on. John's shortcomings encourage us when we realise that, like us, he was at times angry, judgmental and selfish. And we have some of those characters within us, don't we? And don't be surprised if God chooses someone who's a bit,
uppity or a bit cranky or whatever in the early stages, because he can come into our life and he can transform us. He encourages us to shed our old selves and move forward together in love and concern for each other. God is a friend of ours, we are a friend of his, and we can be a friend of each other, and also we can use that love to stretch out to other people who might not know anything about the love of God, with sensitivity and kindness and love and goodwill. And so I guess that's some of the takeaways that we can get from this brief look, actually, into the life of Jesus and his close friend John, who wrote so much about it. We will never reach perfection. Has anyone reached perfection yet? Are you heading in that direction, though? Are you heading in that direction? We can be on a journey to be more Christ-like, though, can't we? And also, we can be closer to perfection because we can accept the gift of God to us, which is imputed righteousness. It's planted into us because we have the Holy Spirit of God when we believe in Jesus and we believe in God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus' Son, and the Holy Spirit. With the Spirit of God guiding us, we can become more like him. And that's perhaps the desire we should have today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks that there's so much in the scriptures that can be helpful to us. We give thanks that we can call you our Heavenly Father. If we want to know how to act, we look at the life of Jesus. And if we want to live post the days of the witness of Jesus, we have the Spirit of God, the Comforter and help and guide for us right up to this very day. Help us to live close in our love and friendship with the Triune God. Help us to be people who reflect truly the image and nature of Christ in this world, that we might be strong and we might be prepared to be transformed and renewed daily. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just simply want to read as a benediction where Jesus prays for all believers. In John 17, verses 20 and 21, where Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray so that the world may believe in those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me." Amen. Amen. God bless you.